This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I hope by now you are buying what I've been trying to sell you for a while on Tom Brady and these Bucks, which is that they're going to be, okay, dude, nobody wants to see that
alone.
Dude. In a close game.
Everybody wants to see it.
Everybody wants to see it. Okay.
I want to see him.
You, first they of don't all, want that smoke. Nobody wants that Tom Brady smoke.
They aren't good enough, and I want to see the Buccaneers. If I'm anybody in the playoffs, anybody else in the NFC, thank you. I have a road game in Tampa. I appreciate it. They cannot win it. They will not win a playoff game. They will not win
bet.
A playoff game.
Oh, I'll take that bet. Okay, Mr. My Bet Your Money, I'll take that bet right now.
I'll take that bet right now.
Oh, good. Put some of that United Negro College Fund money.
I want in on that action. Hey, Mike. How you doing, Mike? You know what? I see your shirt. Great shirt. So you know what? In the spirit of your shirt, tell me a story. Tell me a story, Mike. Just like Alonzo. Tell me, hey, Hoyt.
Not your story.
Tell me a story. Not your story, a story. Okay?
Well, I'll tell you this, Michael. Before you go in, I will say this.
Everything you just heard me say,
and everything I said about last night's game was 90% bullshit. But hopefully it entertains you.
Ooh! What a turnaround! I love that.
When you turn that around. Take it away.
No, really. I think a lot of you people, I'm putting you in that category. A lot of you just really got caught up in the shell of number 12. I mean, it's Tom Brady. He is the greatest, not only the greatest quarterback I've ever seen in the history of football, he's the greatest player I've ever seen in the history of the National Football League, and it's not even close. Nobody has been elite longer. Nobody has been so intentional about being great well into their 30s and now well into their 40s. So he is all that. He deserves everything. Every flower you want to give him, go ahead, give that to Tom Brady. But the GOAT is finished. The GOAT is finished being at that level. He can no longer will a team to do what it's not designed to do. He did that for many years. I saw it up close in New England. He took some flawed teams because of his greatness, because of his presence. He was able to cover the flaws all by himself. But now he is a quarterback of an 8-10 team. And okay, without him, they might have finished 6-12. They might have finished 5-13. So he is able to take them up another level, but not enough to deal with the big dogs. Can't deal with the big dogs. What was that line Alonzo said about the sheep and the wolf and all that stuff? You know, you got to be a sheep. You know the movie back and forth, right. Front to back.
Right.
Something like that. Basically,
he's still a wolf. I thought you were going too short. Can't hang with the big dogs. Get off the porch. Blow the whistle. Song shuts it down like blow the whistle.
That's good.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, either you're a sheep or a wolf. Yeah.
To protect the sheep.
Get your sheep. You got to kill the wolf. No, you hear me, but you not. You listening, but you ain't hearing me. Yeah, whatever. You know. Get your ink, or go give him a hand. Go ahead, keep going. Hey, don't get me started. Keep going.
Hey, I'm just going to say this. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's chess. It ain't checkers, Mike. Okay?
Man, I threw you an alley.
Oh. Okay? This is a fast defense that has been burned by Brady before, including the beginning of the season when the Tampa was not the Tampa was different and Dallas was
how
different.
Things have changed.
Now, here we come. Yeah. That was in September. Yeah. Now, January 2023, the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy's Cowboys, by the way, can I just talk about Mike McCarthy for a second?
Let's talk about Mike McCarthy.
Black America's coach. Get your groove on
in the locker room, Mike McCarthy. I don't know about all that. Get your groove on in the locker room. You saw Mike McCarthy in the locker room with the chain.
I saw
doing
it.
His thing.
I saw
like,
it.
Oh, if anybody deserved to flex, if anybody deserved to dance, it's Mike McCarthy.
But, no, there were a lot of people yesterday. I was proud of them last night. In all seriousness, I was proud of Dallas because there were some questions answered. We know there's a cottage industry built on those who clown the Cowboys, can't stand the Cowboys, root against the Cowboys. That's what happens when you're a high-profile team. You got a lot of fans. You got a lot of haters. And under that umbrella, I got Exhibit A is Mike McCarthy. And to a degree, is Dak Prescott. You know, he doesn't have as many haters as McCarthy does, but McCarthy takes a lot of crap from a lot of people. And some of them
Everybody wants swear
a
job.
Pledge. A lot of them pledge allegiance to that star on the Cowboys helmet. These are Cowboys fans who are always nitpicking Mike McCarthy. McCarthy and his staff, including Dan Quinn, had an incredible game plan last night. They were ready for everything Tampa had. And Dak Prescott was precise. Oh, wow. After his start.
He was surgical.
He had like a,
hey,
a,
I'm surgical with this. He was surgical.
Come on. Yeah, yeah.
How do you think he got that wheelchair, dog?
Hey.
How do you think he got that wheelchair, dog?
It's a sad commentary that yesterday you asked me, hey, do the whole show with some MLK quotes. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. But now, today, when I say, well, we can do the whole show in training day quotes. Okay, I need to read more. That's what it comes down to. I need to be better. But I think Dak Prescott, in all seriousness, he looked like the quarterback that he is. He's, for some reason, he doesn't get into those. He doesn't just roll off the tongue for people outside of Texas. When we talk about our elite quarterbacks, the best quarterbacks in football, he has been that for a long time. Last night was nothing new. It just happened on a Monday Night Football stage in a playoff game when he's going up against Tom Brady. But the last time, well, not the last time, but the time before that, we saw him against Tom Brady. He was coming off an injury, and he was great then, too. So two of the last three games against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Dak Prescott has looked like the better quarterback matched up with Tom Brady.
Right, two of the last three. He got hurt earlier this year, which is when for the first time I made the mistake of doubting Dallas. I wrote them off. I literally wrote them off after the opener when Dak got hurt, thinking that their season was done for. Cooper Rush held it down and kept it real. Dak came back quicker than many expected. The rest is obviously history. And then I went and fell for the banana in the tailpipe when it came to the Buccaneers and Brady at home in the playoffs. Because I still think he's as feared as anybody with the ball in his hands, if not the most feared with the ball in his hands in a clutch situation. But he's gone home right now. I would say gone home to be a family man, but that's complicated, but he's gone home, all right? So listen, let's talk about Brady first, all right?
Okay.
He said he's finished. Literally or figuratively? Because figuratively, he just broke his own record for completions in a season, did he not? Like, he's still a very good quarterback. And I don't know that there are many, any quarterbacks. Well, okay, that's fine. And he's not a modern quarterback. He's not a modern quarterback, but, you know, 2 years ain't that long ago when he was good enough to win the Super Bowl. And last year, damn near good enough to beat the eventual Super Bowl champion. What I'm saying is he just broke his own record for completions. And there are not that many quarterbacks in the league. You could probably count them on one hand with fingers left over who are able to transcend their circumstances. If it was about transcending their circumstances and willing a team, Aaron Rodgers would probably have more than one Super Bowl by now. Josh Allen would already have a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes would have more than one. Even the best ones are still subjected to their circumstances.
Fair.
And the Bucs could not run the ball. They were one-dimensional all season long. The offensive line was a mess. The defense was not what it was supposed to be. And now Tom Brady is a free agent. And all I know is the last time Tom Brady looked finished was the last game of his New England career at Tennessee, or excuse me, at home against Tennessee, and in Foxborough Stadium when his last pass was a pick six. And we know what happened after that. So last night was a good omen for, I don't know, the Raiders, because that only makes all the sense in the world. It makes too much sense. It should probably make enough dollars to satisfy him, whatever that number is. They're getting rid of Derek Carr before they got to pay him. Josh McDaniels is there. There is no learning curve. You know each other. You got Davante Adams and Darren Waller and Foster Moreau and Hunter Renfrow and Josh Jacobs if they bring him back, and your boy Chandler Jones and Max Crosby. And need I go on? It's like he's going to be in Las Vegas. And the Super Bowl is where next year? Not this year, but next year. Where is it?
Las Vegas. Vegas.
Okay.
And the last time he went to a new team, Super Bowl, they had a home game.
Thank you. It's just all lining up for him. So he ain't finished. Mike. Okay, but he is done. He ain't finished, but he is done. He is done for this year. I don't think he retires. But one more thing, because we got to spend more time on the Cowboys. I want to give all the credit to the Cowboys here. One more thing.
Mike, it's what? Not what you know. It's not what you know. It's what you can prove.
So, okay. And there is video proof of Tom Brady.
There's video of him doing this. Ooh.
Doing some dirty stuff last night. Wherever he goes next year, he should either have to come out of pocket with a fine. He can find him right now, or sit out that first game. Because that leg whip thing he did, that sweep the leg karate move he did.
Listen.
If he always does that, I haven't seen it
always.
Like that. And I know once upon a time, he stood up at a, look at this. This is some bush. This is a bullshit right there. Bro, that's the type of stuff that'll get you folded. No, dog. No. Hell no.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be an ambassador for the game, stand on your high horse, and talk about beneath him. And it's, I think it was beneath him. He answered the question about, are you a cheater, with, I don't think I am. I don't believe I am. I believe that was his answer.
Deflategate.
Somebody asked you if you a dirty player, you had better not answer, I don't think I am. Because that right there is, you are what you do. You are what you, and I don't know if he does that kind of stuff all the time, but where they do that at? Where they teach that?
I think
is that where Mac Jones get it from? Did Mac Jones? I mean, I don't know. Is there a parent?
They teach it. They teach that. They teach that course in Foxborough. That's quarterback training. Like, listen, things break down. We want a pound of flesh. Now, if somebody can fact check
all that he deserves, he deserves a lot of criticism today for that. But continue.
Yeah. So you can fact check me on this. I believe he did something similar, but worse, to Ed Reed, his nemesis and the guy he respects, Ed Reed. The Ravens and Patriots had a lot of battles, but I think Ed Reed came in high, and Brady might have tried to meet the family jewels with his foot. I think that's what happened. He's done the leg whip thing before. I've seen that. But I want to point out to you, when you said, hey, Las Vegas, you know, last time with Tom Brady. All right, so last time in 2019, I knew that he just didn't have a lot around him. It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault in 2019. He had, you know, Julian Edelman was out, and, you know, Gronk wasn't there. And he had N'Keal Harry at wide receiver. Jacoby Myers was a rookie. They didn't really have a lot to deal with. Offensive line problems. They had Antonio Brown for a game, and then Antonio Brown left. So he was just upset. He didn't have the contract that he wanted. He was distracted. So some parallels, distractions then, distractions now. But I felt like Tom Brady could still play. I was not surprised by what he did in 2020. A lot of people nationally were. I was not. I would be shocked if this Brady, if this version of Brady, 3 years later, if he were able to kind of reprise that, that would be stunning to me, because he's lost a little something. He's lost a little something. I don't think. And look, when you're Tom Brady, okay, whoever your version, okay, Denzel. Let's say Denzel. All right, let's stick with Denzel. If Denzel loses something, There are tons of actors who look around and say, but he's still not down here with us. He's still up there. Even though he's not what he was, he's still up there. So Tom Brady is still going to be a really good quarterback, but I don't think he's the guy who can, you can just insert him into a pretty good situation, and then all of a sudden you got a Super Bowl contender, and in his case, in 2020, a Super Bowl champion. I think those days are over for him. Go home,
yeah,
Go.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think his play has dropped off at all. I just think, you know, he's a pocket quarterback. And what? If he ain't got a clean pocket, this is the problem you're going to have. I mean, his
Did
play
you
is,
see him last
okay,
night?
Okay, I'll rephrase that. Yeah, he's. It's not the first time he's looked bad. He was made to look bad by, and this is a great segue, by the better team. And again, I spent all year.
He was clutching. I've never seen anybody clutch pearls from the pocket. He was clutching his pearls from the pocket.
I spent all year trying to atone for my sins by writing off the Cowboys prematurely. And then I got caught up with you and your Brady hatred. And then I ended up, you know, like caping up for the Bucks and looking like a fool. When you cracked up laughing, I don't know if you were laughing at Brady or you were laughing at me. But I will say this about the Cowboys. They are no joke. They have been the butt of many jokes, as we pointed out. Not today. And you cannot overstate what a weight was lifted last night off of this franchise. Because I wasn't alone. I wasn't alone thinking that the Cowboys were gonna cowboy up, so to speak. We're gonna do what they normally do and underachieve. I wasn't alone in that. I'm not making an excuse for being wrong. I'm saying that was a common prediction that Brady and the Bucks at home would, you know, expose the Cowboys. They look fantastic. Shout out to the NFC East for having three teams in the final four of the NFC. But having said all of that, having given the Cowboys their flowers that they richly deserve.
Come on now.
Michael, you know when I was early in the year, I was doing the series, my interview series called Gets It, which is available on the NFL on NBC YouTube page. My little interview series
nice
that I cooked up. Thank you.
Nice.
And I spent some time around the Cowboys interviewing Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott. And one of the things that they talked about as an organization there, talking to people around the organization, was that Philadelphia was not their concern. You know what their concern was? San Francisco. All right. You remember, so Jay-Z got a line in Money Cash Blank where he says, it's like New York has been soft ever since Snoop came through and crushed the buildings, which is a reference to New York, New York, big city of dreams. With Snoop running through and crushing the buildings, right? Like a big giant Snoop.
Right.
The equivalent of Snoop crushing the buildings in New York was the 49ers coming out of that locker room in AT&T Stadium last year with that boombox.
Yeah.
And they took the Cowboys lunch money.
Up front.
They punked the Cowboys at home. And on both sides of the line of scrimmage, they physically beat them up. We know about the Cowboys mentally breaking down at the end of that game in terms of clock management. But the Cowboys this year were built, and their mindset this year was to be deeper, tougher, more physical in order to match up with the Cowboys. The Eagles, they know they can hang with. I mean, with the 49ers. They know they can hang with
the Niners.
Matching up with the 49ers is their concern. And that concern is valid because I say all that to say this. They can't see San Francisco. Great win.
I didn't see that coming.
They ain't got
Wait a minute.
King Kong ain't got shit on me. The Cowboys ain't got shit on the 49ers. That's what I'm telling you right now. I'm just saying that right now. Just putting it out there. So I was wrong last night.
That.
I'm doubling down. They ain't got nothing for San Francisco. They ain't got nothing for the 49ers.
I'm so
Nobody
glad.
Does right now.
I'm so glad you said that nice and clean. So Gary Carter and my student, Bell Fraser, in the control room, all of them can get that nice and clean. So when we do it, in case you missed it, after next week, because I'm telling you, Mike, this was just a little stop. This was our appetizer. This was not a Super Bowl for the Dallas Cowboys. This was not, I wonder if we can beat Tampa. There was an expectation. I knew. I'm not even a Cowboys fan. I knew they were going to beat Tampa. Not only beat Tampa, but handle Tampa. So that's a nice little 8-10 team from the NFC South. Nobody finished over 500. It's a division not to be dealt, not to be thought about. You don't lose sleep over the NFC South. Move them out the way. Bring on your boy, Tom Brady Light, Brock Purdy, who's now got a real opponent. Oh, he's got a real opponent now. Okay, none of this. Hey, you're gonna pop into a game where Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, and you go ahead and handle that business. You did well against Miami out of the playoffs. You did well against Tampa out of the playoffs. You did well against Seattle, barely got into the playoffs. Now, this is where it counts. Divisional round of the playoffs. You're favored. You got everything going for you. You're well supported. You got a great offensive mind as your head coach. You got offensive talent all around you. But now you got resistance. You got resistance from the Cowboys. Listen, I'm telling you, this game, I know we're all looking forward to this game. Cowboys, Niners, they had some great battles in the 80s and 90s. This game ain't going to be close.
Old is new again. Are they going to be close?
This game is.
Oh, you're going the opposite direction.
I'm going the opposite way.
They're blowing out the 49ers?
Hey. Yeah, because you know what? Purdy's a nice story. It's a nice story, but he's about to be.
A nice story?
He's a nice story.
What?
He's about to be exposed.
Okay.
He's about to be exposed for what he is. He's about to be exposed for what he is.
Which is a baller? That's what he's about to be exposed as? Which is their new franchise quarterback? Okay, look, it's fine. It won't be the first time. Let's go to break. Charles is standing
you're
by.
You're not.
We're being rude. It won't be the first time you've been late. That's okay. I'll save you a seat. No matter how many times you're late, I'll save you a seat. Don't worry.
You're not in Ames, Iowa anymore, Brock. Isn't that where Iowa State is? Ames. I always get a feeling. Iowa City, Iowa. Ames, Iowa State. Is that right? You're not in Ames. You're not in Iowa anymore, Brock.
A cyclone is coming for your Cowboys. But you know what, Michael? What I thought you were going to say is I'm not in a position. I thought you were going to say I'm not in a position to talk trash right now. I'm eating enough of my words. I push my chips all in. I'm not anti-Cowboy, for the record. I am pro Brock Purdy and the 49ers.
Sure, son. Go ahead, do that dance, Mike. Go ahead, Mike. Yeah, Mike. Yeah.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
I'm going to go home and get a good night's sleep as good as I can tonight. And
you want to figure this stuff out? I mean, it was first.
No, I'm not. You know, this has been a lot of focus on, you know, this game. So, yeah.
It's just be one day at a time, truly.
I just want to say thank you guys for everything this year. I really appreciate all your effort. And I know it's hard for you guys, too. It's hard for us players to make it through. And you guys got a tough job. And I appreciate all that you guys to cover us and everyone who watches and is a big fan of the sport. We're very grateful for everyone's support. And, I love this organization. It's a great place to be. And thank you, everybody, for welcoming me, all you regulars. And, just very grateful for the respect, and I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, Charles, I just want to say thank you for all your contributions to the show. Thanks for coming back 2 days in a row to drop knowledge. So where's Brady playing next year, if at all? Vegas feels like it just makes too much sense not to happen at this point.
Well, Tampa made the first move to bring him back. They fired Byron Leftwich. So, I mean,
And you said, not celebrating it at all, but you said that for weeks, that in order for him to come back, there needed to be changes on the offensive staff. So, and here we are.
Yeah. So,
this dude right here.
I don't know that Byron Leftwich was the problem. I can say this about what was going on offense and what I think people were upset about, including players, was that there was a feeling that it was not being schemed to play complementary football. Okay, that there was too much of an emphasis on throwing, that there was not enough work done during the course of the season to get a consistent running game going, particularly when it wasn't just Leonard Fournette back there as the season went on. And I think there was a feeling inside the locker room that we're going to get stuck in a situation where we can't play complementary football. We're going to have to shift all our chips on throwing the ball. And we just don't have the line to be able to sustain that kind of a boat race game. Well, what happens against the Cowboys? Tom throws 66 passes, necessitated because they fell behind, weren't able to, again, play complimentary football early on, and we watched it fall apart. I don't think Byron Leftwich was the only problem. I think that he probably could have done a better job. I think Tom could have done a better job. Tom had his warts too this season. I know for Tampa, they're sitting there staring at it saying, we got to bring him back because the smartest thing for us now is we don't have another alternative sitting there. The cap charge is huge if he's not here. I think it's like $35 million if he's not on the roster. If he stays or retires, it's around $15. That's really what they're more concerned about. They're saying we're taking an extra $20 million hit if we let him go, and we don't know that we have a better alternative sitting here at quarterback. Can we fix this by finding an offensive coordinator and getting the offensive line back to health and pouring some resources into the running game to make sure that we're a more balanced offense in 2023. I think that's what they're gearing up to do.
You know, one of Kevin Durant's great nicknames that just never stuck, but I loved it, was the Slim Reaper. And I feel like that's Tom Brady now. That's Tom Brady. Yeah. Like, okay. It came there, Bruce Arians, hey, I love you, man, I love you. All of a sudden, Bruce Arians turns around, Tom Brady retires, then Tom Brady comes back, Arians is out of a job. 2020, they win, and they celebrate how diverse their coaching staff is. They had a black defensive coordinator in Bowles, black offensive coordinator in Byron Leftwich. Arians said, hey, these guys don't get enough credit. Everybody loves Tampa. Then all of a sudden, turn around, Leftwich is gone. Let me ask you, what's Tom Brady's responsibility, Charles, part one? And then two, I'm going to double barrel it. Sawatsky says, don't do this. I'll do it anyway. Another thing is, what is he right now? If you had to assess Brady as a quarterback, what's your assessment of Tom Brady, age 45, about to be 46, as an NFL quarterback?
In terms of his responsibility, first and foremost, I would say that he has to be honest with himself about what he is now, which is no quarterback likes to get hit. But when you look at that first interception, he clearly was throwing that because he saw a guy come and he was going to get hammered. And it ended up being an interception that's on him because he's not a guy who's just going to take hits in the pocket, hold the ball until the last second to make a play. Because he's 45 and doesn't want to get wiped out, doesn't know what I mean. It's just he's just not that same guy in the pocket that he used to be in terms of taking punishment. Okay, so he's got to accept that fact. His arm, I think, is still fine. When you talk to people around the league, he's, you know, there's some uncharacteristic moments where he's short-arming some things. That's usually because he's not setting up. He just seems to be in a point in his career where he does need to set up his base more than in past years. He can't arm it out at times when he's off platform. Okay. So that he, what basically what I'm saying is Tom Brady in age, it's happening. It is happening and people are seeing it. He has to understand that. So there are some limitations there. Now that said, I think what Tom Brady was upset with was when all the offensive line injuries happened, it made sense, I think, in his mind and other people in that locker room to, hey, we're really going to have to lean more into the run because, A, that helps out some of the younger components of the offensive line. It's easier to run block than it is to pass block. It's going to be really important to be a balanced team. We got to make sure that we have the run set up, whatever that takes from game one or week one to week, you know, 18. That didn't happen. It did not happen. And I think that the thought was we're going to end up in a bad situation because of that. They ended up in a bad situation because of that. And a lot of that falls on Byron Leftwich. So I think, you know, both of them have culpability there in this situation. Only one of them has an additional $20 million cap charge if he is not on the team in 2023. That's Tom Brady. In terms of what is he now? I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback. I think, you know, is he somewhere between 10 and 15? Yeah, probably. He needs to have a running game behind him now. He needs to have a line that can protect him. He's at that stage of his career, which is why when I say to Michael Smith, if we're thinking about him going to Las Vegas or anywhere, my first question is who can protect him best and who has a running game to be able to play the complementary type of football that is a necessity now for Tom Brady. He can't be this guy out here throwing 50 times a game. It's absurd. He just can't.
Number one, Vegas has the running game, assuming they keep Josh Jacobs, which is an assumption, I know.
Definitely. Two, no question.
Nobody is designed to win. And I understand everything you're saying, Charles, but nobody wins when you're throwing it 50 times a game. When any quarterback that should make it that one dimensional, very right. few of them are going to succeed when you're that predictable. Number three,
even Josh
not
Allen.
Top
yes,
10.
I agree.
Right, but not top 10. Ooh, I mean, I don't want to take too much time counting to 10, but ain't that many dudes that would take over Tom Brady. But I'll tell you what, his legs.
You named him the other day. Yes, there are. You named him as you did this exercise when we were after the show.
No, I was talking about who's still good and who's after, great. I was.
After you were crapping on
10 guys.
After you were crapping on Derek Carr.
I don't believe there's 10 guys I would take.
Well, here. Okay, wait.
Let me refine
that a little bit, okay? Let me at least put one filter on it. What is around him, okay? What is around him?
Sure.
If he has the offensive line, if he has a running game, and he has the skill position players, I think that greatly amplifies what he is now, which is a pocket quarterback who needs to be on platform. He has to be on platform. He's a platform player. Can't be moving around, can't be, you know, throwing without his base set up. This is not me talking, this is people looking at him now.
No, for real, everybody can see that. Like, you don't have to be an NFL evaluator to know that. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm saying that, A, that's more or less always been him. He's diminished somewhat from what he used to be. That's unanimous. But he's never been known for his mobility. He's not a dual threat quarterback.
Right.
His mobility has been in the pocket, and it's gotten worse.
He will not take a hit now.
No.
Okay. He gets rid of the ball as fast as he possibly can to mitigate damage. He used to be that guy. He would take it.
But it's almost gone full circle because once upon a time, a reporter in Boston said that Brady was throwing sideways in the Charlie Weiss days to start his career with the Patriots. If they throw another screen to Chris Godwin, I'm going to pull my hair out. So I'm with you on the quick passing game. You understand what I'm saying? I get it. But everything you're saying about needing a supporting cast can be said for 99% of the people. Only one quarterback in the league is both the team's passing game and its running game, and that's Josh Allen. Everybody else needs to be protected. They need a running game. They need receivers.
But
they need all those things.
He cannot overcome the way he used to.
I'm going to transition to another quarterback who may or may not be done because I just saw – I haven't seen the sound myself. Maybe you saw it, Charles, but I'm just seeing a quote, so I'll just ask you based on the quote completely out of context. Aaron Rodgers told his boy Pat McAfee that he could be NFL MVP again in the right situation. $60 million say he stays in the Green Bay situation. What's his future, if any, in the NFL?
Okay, so here's what this is dependent on. Okay. I don't know that Aaron wants to be in Green Bay if they offload some veterans from that roster, that, you know, and you can, it's, look, judge it, whatever. It is what it is. There are certain guys that he trusts, veterans, who I think he would like to keep in the fold there that probably will not be in the fold, okay? Mercedes Lewis, Alan Lazard, you know, what's going to happen with David Bakhtiari. There's a number of players, okay? Randall Cobb. I know some people are probably hearing these names and going, seriously? Like, really? That's the key to winning?
Jake Kumerow,
you know, Robert Tonyan. Okay, Robert Tonyan. I'm just saying.
Remember Jake Kumerow was a problem.
I'm just saying
Jake Kumerow.
It's got
weird fetishes, man.
It's, well, no, I look, I hey. Because I think what he knows is if all those players move on, then it is you're in the midst of a micro rebuild in terms of you're doing the youth movement thing. And I don't know that at that age he wants to sit there and go, all right, I'm now the guy who remains, and I am trying to help, you know, coddle these younger pieces of the offense. And let's be frank here, some quarterbacks get to that point in their late 30s, and they don't want to be those players. Most quarterbacks, I would say, Tom Brady didn't want to be that player. He's vicious with young players. Peyton Manning was vicious with young players. It does happen.
Run that in. That ain't his fault. We showing that play. Okay. All he got to do is run that in.
And here's the other.
Go ahead.
And Charles, before you continue, I just want to say, you know, some quarterbacks get to that position, but some people, that'll make you an old, you want to become an old man and an old woman in a hurry? Just sit around romanticizing about yesteryear. How things used to be. Because I know I saw a rookie receiver who Aaron Rodgers wanted nothing to do with at the beginning of the year. And this second rounder, Mike, there you go. This second rounder, the second half of the year, looked like one of the best receivers in football.
Okay.
He was going off, right?
Okay.
But Aaron Rodgers didn't want to take time with him.
I saw a 10-part miniseries on the greatest athlete of my entire lifetime in terms of when I saw him in his prime, that being Michael Jordan, who brutalized young players
mentally and physically.
Either mentally and physically. I read what he did to Kwame Brown. Okay. I saw what he did to Scott Burrell. Okay. Like, and that gets celebrated. But then we look differently at NFL quarterbacks who get to that point and we just go, well, that's part of the paycheck that you earn. I don't think there's a parallel.
But this is why it's celebrated. Well, I would say this. The difference is, okay, there's a parallel, but I'd say the difference. Here's a distinction.
Okay.
You're Michael Jordan. You're one of five. One of five. So one, and then you got four other guys you got to worry about. Quarterback, you got to get that whole group on board, and you just can't afford to sit there and just, like, tear somebody down mentally, especially if they're catching your passes.
That's fair. I mean, you're right. I mean, the dynamic in terms of the numbers game is vastly different, and there is more of a building a consensus that has to happen on a football team with a quarterback. So I would agree with that, but I'm just saying, I'm talking just about the realities of ego, the realities of being a high level athlete. And these guys don't want to play catch up with younger players. I mean, Drew Brees, Garrett Gilbert basically isn't in the NFL right now because Drew Brees refused him the ability to learn in quarterback meetings. He was like, either you come in knowing it, this is my quarterback meeting. We're going to do this my way. We're going to talk about all the high level stuff. If you don't understand it, you learn it from the coaches outside of the quarterback room. And that never happened. That ended that dude's career. But we love Drew Brees, right?
Mike and I were arguing. Earlier.
I like getting off on the side tangents.
I ate my crow about the Cowboys and the Bucks, but I don't think the Cowboys have anything for the 49ers. Michael thinks it's going to be a blowout in favor of the Cowboys. I don't know if it could be a blowout if you can't kick extra points or field goals. Or maybe they just going to score that many touchdowns against the best defense in the league.
Oh, man.
But, I'm serious. Like, what are they going to do about Brent Maher?
Brother had a bad day.
That's
brother had a bad day. He had a bad day. Had a terrible dad talk.
I have a lot of bad days at the office. I've never seen a bad day quite like that. So what are they going to do about this issue? Or they just go like, hey, you know, hope that he fixes it, that he's okay next week, or what? Is there anything they can do at this point? He's been there. Is there somebody they can find? What's the solution, if any?
I mean, it was an awful day, but okay, if you look at it in terms of the kicks, the first two, he misses, and then he overcorrects on the third, right? So you're like, okay, the first two, you're like, why did you miss those two? Maybe there's really no, you're just bad kicks, right? The third one, you're like, is there a reason why I missed the third one? Yeah, because he overcorrected. So you're like, you saw the correction, you overcorrected, he missed it. The fourth one goes over the top of one of the uprights. He makes the fifth. I think we saw someone just completely crash, and then
working,
we watched
through
them slowly. seriously,
kind of
in the game,
correct as he went along in real time.
It,
I like
right?
it.
He made two horrible mistakes. Like, he made a third mistake trying to fix the first two mistakes. The fourth mistake was right there. He almost made that. I mean, it was literally inches. It was still not a great kick. And then the fifth, he was completely fine. I think we literally watched a guy chronologically work through it in one single game. It was horrible.
So this isn't the yips. I think if you're Mike McCarthy,
what Mike McCarthy will do, I think you go to him and you say, you know what? You're not that guy. We know you're not that guy. You were great all season long. You had a really bad day. We literally watched you work your way through it. You made your last kick. That's the guy you are. Yeah. You made it. Made it. Let's just move on. Okay. Let's not even drill on it and pray. You're good. Let's just move on. Remember your last kick. Okay, you made it. Let's go ahead and go out and win.
You're only as funky as your last cut. All right, Charles.
That's right. Appreciate
it, man. We got to let you go. We got more company coming through. But
Michael Holly needs to call me because we need to have all kinds of arguments about some of the things that are happening on the show. You and I, we need
who?
A whole hour to argue. We need to argue about the Slim Reapers in the NFL.
Oh, Slim Reaper.
Well, I mean, but Charles.
Oh, yeah.
Charles, the whole fall, you did this show more than me. So don't y'all have plenty of time together?
Cowboys are not blowing out San Francisco either, all right? They're not blowing them out, all right? Come on.
Ain't nobody blowing out. He a Brock Purdy hater. He ain't a believer yet. He going to come around. He a little slow, but he going to get it.
I love this. He going to get it. Look, I love the content. Oh, look at this.
Hey.
What's up, Charles?
Lawsuit pending.
Is that how you're supposed to wear? Wait, I don't know about is the t-shirt and the hat though. Is that how you're supposed to wear a Tigers hat? Is there only one way to wear a Tigers hat?
This is it. That's it. Dan Campbell's gonna be served.
Bro, if you take off the glasses, maybe you kind of look like Dan Campbell. Low key. Lowest of keys.
Lowest
biting
of keys.
Kneecaps. One ass cheek and three toes.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Never been in that situation. I didn't get a single carry. And I didn't get a single carry. And so, He should never been in that situation. I believe I would have put it in the end zone again. I'm a guy that feel like if I'm on the field all the time, I can help this team win. I wasn't, you know, it's the playoffs. Why am I not out there? I should be the guy. I'm tired of holding that back. I'm tired of that. 12, it's the playoffs. I'm tired of holding that back. Let's go win the game. I'm tired of holding back on that. I'm tired of that.
Listen, if we're going to talk about the Baltimore Ravens and specifically about Lamar Jackson, who better to discuss it with than Rita, the NFL chick from 105.7, the Fan, Ravens, Postgame Uncensored, from the Gridiron Gals podcast, from the Win and Drive podcast, and your favorite auntie. Just so happy to finally see you. You snuck in and did the show when I wasn't here, which is my fault,
I
not
did.
Yours.
Sorry.
I'm so glad. So glad to have you. It's been a long time coming. We've obviously known each other for a long time. We've been Twitter friends for quite a long time. So thank you so much for blessing the show. Michael knows this, and I'm not just saying this to impress company. There is no organization that I have more respect for than your Baltimore Ravens in terms of the way they do business when it comes to player development, player acquisition, talent evaluation, whatever you want to call it. And the Ravens did not get to be the Ravens by letting the likes of Lamar Jackson go. They have worked the hell out of the compensatory pick formula over the years, as you know. But I feel like right now, this is like the natural course of relationships. Where it gets difficult, you may need counseling, you may need couples therapy, you may decide to post something, you may update your relationship status on Facebook, and people still do that, I don't know. Maybe that's a dating reference. But it's like, Lamar, you know, posting, you know, do right by when you got something good on Instagram and yada, yada, yada. I never thought I'd agree with RG3, but like, there's a way out of this and there's a solution. And I don't think that solution is trading Lamar Jackson. Enough from me. What say you, Rita?
I agree. You know, I think you shouldn't trade Lamar Jackson. You clearly need him because you know what you look like without him. But it's funny that y'all posted that Instagram picture, because today he posted two Instagram stories of him in a Ravens uniform. So, you know, who knows what these young kids mean when they post the stuff. He's 26 years old, right? Like, so that's what they do. They post stuff. And I say this. When he goes Kyler Murray and he starts archiving his pictures in his Ravens uniform, then maybe we should be concerned, right?
And he, and he resigned. That's another example. Thank you. We talked about Aaron Rodgers yesterday. We talked about all the people who quit Deebo Samuel, who they're like, they're done. Kyler Murray is another example. He was, thank you.
He had
a Pro Bowl jersey on. He was done.
Exactly.
And they gave him his money. Now, they regret giving him that money. But the point still stands.
Right. So you got to look, you know, until he goes that far, then I feel like, okay, we're really in trouble here. But I mean, I'm a person that believes that money can change and solve almost anything. And so if the Ravens and Lamar get to the table and they come to an agreement on what the worth is, if they can come, you know, in the middle, then all of this is just talk, right? And so I think that anything can be repaired almost if you pay somebody what they believe that they're worth. And so you made a point about the Ravens being a business organization, and I agree with that. And my thing is that while I believe that Lamar should absolutely be the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens, what is your contingency plan if he's not? And, you know, of course, we know what Deshaun Watson got that the Browns gave to the Houston Texans. And so, you know, who is going to be the team that's available to give you something in that realm, right? And then also, are you looking to get a new quarterback with whatever it is that you got? So it's a very difficult situation if that is something that you're considering, if you're the Baltimore Ravens, in terms of trade. But if I'm them, I'm going to try to repair this relationship and find a way to pay this young man. He is very popular in this town. He is very he means a lot to this organization in terms of what they do. And I just really think that it would be unfortunate if they just cannot come together and do this. I do want to add this, guys. This is not the first time that the Ravens have done this. When Joe Flacco, he went into his fifth-year option as well.
Sure.
Offered him the same a contract in the offseason. He declined it fifth year. We know they won a Super Bowl. He got paid. So I just want to debunk a lot of things that I've been seeing about, you know, whether this is race-related or not. I think think this is just organizational related. This is how they operate, yeah, whether we like it or not. So I would really like to see them fix this.
Well, not just I would add to that, Rita, not even just how they operate. One team has given a guaranteed contract of this magnitude. That was one team that was desperate, and it was a unique set of circumstances in which Deshaun Watson was effectively a free agent. And the Browns, he had told them he was out of it. He was going to go to, I believe it was Atlanta, maybe New, I think it was Atlanta. And the only way they were going to get back in it was a grand gesture, such as a fully guaranteed contract like that.
Yeah.
The Ravens choosing not to do that, to me, doesn't reflect how they view Lamar Jackson. Two things can be true at the same time. They love Lamar Jackson. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. They love Lamar Jackson and would love to have signed him already, but not to a fully guaranteed contract. A lot of guarantees, mechanisms that could have triggered full guarantees. So I don't think this is in any way a reflection that they don't want the guy. It's that it takes two to tango. It takes two to tango.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mike, I hear that, and I go, Keith Sweat, how deep is your love then? You know, don't tell me you love me. And then, hey, listen. Hey, oh, you're like, oh, yeah, we can love you and not do what they did. No. From my perspective, I need you to do what they did.
And that's fair.
So you can prove it.
But Michael.
And let me ask you.
And that's fair. Lamar, as a businessman, is perfectly entitled. And like,
perhaps
now he's representing himself, because a lot of players would have caved. He is representing himself and standing his ground. He is perfectly entitled to believe that he deserves a fully guaranteed contract given his resume.
I have two questions for you. I'll make the first one quick because I want to get to your. I heard from sources that you had some opinions about our Niners Cowboys conversations. I want to get to that before we go. But before we get there, I want to ask you. Mike Smith said yesterday, using the best man example, when we talked to Malcolm Lee. Malcolm Lee was talking about the dispute between Robin and Harper, and he said, "Well, there's no villain. It's just human beings." How about in Baltimore's case? Is there a villain? If you have to pick one, Ravens, Team Lamar, Team Ravens, is there a villain in this matchup?
I'm always going to be team player because I feel like that these are the guys that makes the league go. So, but I've been Team Lamar since his sophomore year at Louisville. You know, it was a running joke for a long time that I was Lamar's fairy godmother, right? Because I was rooting for him super hard, you know, all the way up until he got drafted. But I see both sides. I don't think anything is wrong. Anyone is wrong in this situation. The organization has to, you know, they have to protect themselves in terms of, you know, understanding how much money they're going to pay a guy. And Lamar has to protect himself in terms of what his value is. And to your point about the Cleveland Browns and what they did, you know, there were two more contracts that went out after that contract, and neither one of them were fully guaranteed. That was the Kyler Murray contract,
and Russell Wilson.
And that was Russell Wilson. I'm interested to see, too. There's two more guys that I'm interested to see how they go. And maybe this offseason there's talks, and that's Justin Herbert and as well as Joe Burrow. So I'm curious to see the trend, if some other teams are going to bite. We know the Minnesota Vikings have done this with Kirk Cousins, but I think we don't talk about it because it's not like a lot
shorter
of money
term.
That Kirk Cousins was getting. And it was shorter terms. But I'm interested to see what these two teams do as well, because they also have decisions to make. So, you know, the Browns put a little bit of a monkey wrench in it, but then we've also seen guys, you know, sign post Deshaun without fully guaranteed contracts. But I don't think he's wrong for asking what he he's asking for a fully guaranteed contract anyway. You know what I mean?
Hey, can you guarantee you'll come back and talk all things NFL? Not just the Ravens?
Absolutely.
Yeah, dope, Rita. All right, cool.
Yes, because I want to talk some 49ers Cowboys too, not just Ravens.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You got a homework assignment. It's due tomorrow. Count to 10 and tell me 10 guys better than Tom Brady. Right now.
I got
still.
Got it.
Okay. Okay. I expect it. Homework. Show me your work tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Show me your work tomorrow.
You coming tomorrow? You going to be here tomorrow?
Maybe. I don't know. I'll see how I
do. Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.